Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Brian DeLoge will be with us in the second hour. Leon County Commissioner for District 4, Paloma Rambana, a very lovely young lady, is with me here in this first hour talking about her dreams for visually impaired children in Florida. It's a great show today, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
So here we are on this Saturday talking with Paloma Rambana. She is a 9-year-old powerhouse, a superhero, a superstar, only to be matched, I think, by her rather remarkable mom, who many of you know for having done so many good things in the area of immigration law, particularly here in the Tallahassee area, Elizabeth Ricci. Paloma, for her part, has done the task of securing funding. Let's put it this way. She led the charge, right? She got in front of Florida legislators with this very simple message that kids like her were beset with what turned out to be a sort of quirky gap in the availability of funding. Okay, she's going to help us understand how this all went down. But in fact, if you were, you know, older than 6 years old, I guess older than five, if you were six and less than 14 years of age, if you were between 6 and 13 years old, the funding just wasn't available to you. Kind of weird that way. But what kind of funding? Well, funding that would provide needed assistance, among other things, in the purchase of devices like a digital magnifier that enables it or makes it possible for a person faced with the kind of visual limitations that Paloma has, the impairment of her eyesight, but it makes it possible for her to read and to see. With that in mind, those devices are not inexpensive. They can be thousands of dollars in cost. And so for those families of children in the state of Florida faced with those kinds of challenges financially, man, they're just out of luck. Well, thank you to Governor Rick Scott and to those legislators who then got busy. And with the inspiration presented to them from this young lady, Paloma Rambana, they crafted legislation that will not only provide $1 million in this first go-around, but half of that money then is recurring. So there's a foothold. There's a lot of work to be done, from what I understand. We're going to learn more about that. But they've made a great start. And folks, you got to say, what a great story, huh? That this 9-year-old took it upon herself with some assistance from her mom and others. But man, she got out there, and it's a great inspiration, I think, to all of us who perhaps otherwise might think that we are not empowered, that we don't have opportunity. Of course, not all of us are as cute as Paloma, but hey, you work with what you got. You know, yours truly has to suffer through as best I can. The moose is loose here, trying to bring you the best that Tallahassee has to offer. And certainly we're proud of Paloma and her work thus far. We wish her well. You're going to learn all about that, and her and her mom will be with us here shortly. Let's say also a little shout out here to our friend Brian DeLoge, who has found it within his means spend a little bit of time with us. Dear Lord, this is a guy who is that rolling stone, and he just doesn't gather any moss from what I can tell. But he found it within his schedule to spend a few minutes with us, and we're going to have him here in the second hour. You don't want to miss that, because we're going to drill down on some of the stuff that's happened lately, not just all of the headline sort of things, but down into some of the fabric, we'll say, some of the granular aspects of this town and this county, and how it is that leadership and citizens and private groups and public groups are kind of working together, to try to solve some of the gap that we find there. When we talk about gaps, as we think of Paloma's work, there's a gap, perhaps culturally and economically, and it's been highlighted or underscored in recent research that has been released over the last several months. It's all come our way. We've talked about it here on the show. We'll get Brian DeLoge's take on that and how the county views such information, particularly in regard to what was described as income immobility for those who are native to Leon County. Well, and in that regard, let me say that we're trying to make our efforts known among those who are so minded so as to help us in feeding hungry children in this county. There is also a gap there in which those who find themselves underemployed or unemployed or are trying to do the best they can, though they are working at a poverty level or they are certainly struggling with the day-to-day. In the words of Tim Center, they are beset with the tyranny of the moment. It's very, very difficult for a person who is really struggling to feed their kids to think about career advancement. Huh? So we want to try to aid on that side of the issue by bringing the Tallahassee Food Challenge to you and say, help us. If you were able to do so by now, I want to thank you personally for your contributions. Whether we were aware of it or not, we've been out at a couple of the grocery stores around town collecting food for these food charities that assist families in this manner. Thank you. We're going to continue to do this. The Tallahassee Food Challenge goes on because people don't stop getting hungry. We want to salute all of those who have participated in various events around the community in this regard. And there's a lot of them, a lot of food drives. And we should all be thinking that way, honestly. For our part, the Tallahassee Food Challenge is ongoing. There's a website, which you might imagine is TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Simple enough. There you're going to find resource. You're going to find a listing of things that you can donate that are going to be most valuable, food items that are the most hard to come by, perhaps. You'll also see a listing of the various food charities and locations around the county that include, of course, America's Second Harvest and Echo and Catholic Charities, the Tallahassee Food Bank. But there are a number of churches that themselves have their own food pantries. And one of those is probably in a neighborhood near you. So lots of ways that you can stay motivated, stay involved. And look, on one occasion here about a week or so ago, we were at one of the grocery stores in town. We were there for about 2 or 3 hours. We collected all of about 300 or 400 pounds of food. And the folks at America's Second Harvest know how to calculate that and translated for us the number of families that were fed with those donations. How remarkable. You don't think of it that way, perhaps, but you realize that even a bag of groceries, one simple collection of canned good items, can feed 10 people. Wow. So begin doing the math, my friend. You're going to find out that even though you think your contribution may be rather modest, it is going to make a difference. So I want to encourage you to keep going on that effort. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is the website. Folks, we're going to continue with more. We've got Miriam Dady coming up here in our business spotlight feature, which we love to do because we like to focus on local businesses. So Miriam is our guest today, and we'll talk with her as we continue with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
It is such a marvelous pleasure to have with me Miriam Dady. You folks know this. I've known it for a long time. Maybe you've known it longer than I have. She is a formidable contributor to a lot of different groups in this town and across the country, for that matter. She won't tell you that because she's too modest. That's my job. I'm going to brag about my friend Miriam Dady. How are you?
Why am I on this side of the microphone?
Because...
Wait a minute.
It's the way it works sometimes. You get to be the victim of my scrutiny. And in doing so, I thought it would be fun to get a moment a bit less pressured for you. I hope so, anyway.
It's my empathy training for my guests.
All you got to do is answer all the questions, ma'am, but give you a chance
in
to really...
In 8 minutes or less.
Speak to those things that you do quite well and do so often in helping everybody else, it seems to me. You're the person who... is out there searching about for business owners, people who have great ideas for a startup, or maybe they're longtime Tallahassee business owners. You drag their poor bodies in here and sit them down and then begin to pepper them with questions about why they do what they do. And here you have several enterprises of your own. The one that I like especially because I'm a fan and we love using the service, it's called Send Out Cards, right?
That's it.
Send Out Cards is, for the uninitiated, a web-based means by which you create your own card. This is a real, like, holding it in your hand with a stamp on it kind of card.
It is. It's really the grandfather of some other kind of imitators like Snapfish or some of these out there. And the leg up that we have is over the course of 11 years, Send Out Cards has just reinvented what it is to not only win new customers for a business, but to enhance and win referrals from those customers, and it's all based on a system of gratitude. Whether a few keystrokes sends a card and a gift to one person or 100 people, the amount of time that saves your average busy entrepreneur is phenomenal. But it's so necessary to get that kind of gratitude out
it
there.
It certainly does afford one the convenience of a web-based solution. But I will tell you that I like the fact that it is not simply an e-card. It is not a digital greeting. It, in fact, comes to you in the mail. And there's that degree of customization, personalization that lends itself. I mean, even down to the cover photo you're going to put on the outside or the font you're going to use and all that jazz. I think it's a very cool thing. How did you get started in send-out cards? Where did that come from for you?
I began using send-out cards myself
for
as a customer.
Yeah.
I sold motorhomes for a living, and what a joy for me to see people's dreams come true when they would drive off. Many of you Tallahasseans will remember Emerald Coast RV. You might even remember Pepco.
Yes,
well, that's
I do.
Where I bought my first motorhome. And when you get a family loaded into an RV and you pick up your phone and you snap a picture as you see those faces driving away, I could just sit down on my computer. I could slap it onto a card from my phone, type a little message, hit send, and in a few days, they would get a card that they didn't.
Right.
It wasn't just something they treasured. They shared it with everybody
Look
they knew.
Yeah.
And my business started growing. And my retention of customers went off the chart. And my referral business caused me to really grow so that my boss became very excited about send-out cards, too. But I'll tell you, the root of my love for entrepreneurs in general and the reason I'm involved with send-out cards, the reason I'm involved with BNI, Business Networking International, I come from a bloodline of true entrepreneurs. Now, my dad was a civil engineer by education, and he always had that J-O-B, building bridges and highways and in the city of San Francisco and building tarmac for the first 747 in Seattle. But his heart was, how can I build something for myself and my family? How can I create that? And when something like that is rooted in you as a child, you know, Dad would buy me success motivation tapes when I was 8 and 9 years old, and I'd listen to Sherry Lewis with the puppets, remember Lamb Chops?
Absolutely.
Talking about having a positive attitude and going after your goals. That's where it began.
You're telling me you wanted to be a ventriloquist when you were a kid.
And that,
I get that.
And my lips move far too much.
It's remarkable.
I think you noticed.
But that does betray the fact that you are an able actress. And this is another thing that folks don't realize. currently, you are in a principal role in this neat little play. Tell us about that.
Irish Repertory Theater is producing a coffee house production. That's at Theater Tallahassee, also known as Tallahassee Little Theater.
Right.
And we're doing The Cripple of Inishmon. And it continues through Friday, Saturday, and then a Sunday matinee closing the 26th. So this
which
weekend.
We had an opportunity to sample when you had a couple of the cast members join you here a couple weeks back. That was really cool.
I bet you could just feel the ocean spray on your face.
I did. Yeah. I was wanting to go out and start reading, you know, Irish authors and poetry again.
I just
needed to take some Xanax or something, I guess, before I did that, because it could get a little dark.
Exactly.
Well, folks, this is Miriam Dady. She is one of our most cherished members of the business community in Tallahassee, a contributor on so many levels, a fine actress. Don't forget that play is playing through the weekend. And she continues her role here as one of our co-hosts and associate producer for Tallahassee Talks. And my good friend, thank you for being with us today.
Brian, thanks so much. It wasn't really that bad sitting
in this
chair.
Feels better, doesn't it, now that it's done?
Yeah.
It's like going to your dentist. It's over now.
Thank you.
Just wait for the Novocaine to wear off. Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up. ABC News is right here at the bottom of the hour. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. This portion of the show brought to you by Send Out Cards.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, general manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. It is such a pleasure to have you with us. And we have as well a very lovely young person who I know you're eager to meet. And her name is Paloma Rambana. And we have with her Elizabeth Ricci, a prominent immigration attorney, the other half of Rambana and Ricci, Neil Rambana, her father, Elizabeth Ricci, her mom. Elizabeth is with us today along with this lovely young lady. And I have only met Paloma Rambana recently, but it has happened because she has accomplished something rather remarkable, I think, and has done so not only for herself, but on behalf of many people in the state of Florida, especially children and their families who are challenged with any kind of visual impairity, we'll say, those things that happen in life. And in the case of Paloma, she has a particular visual impairity, which is referred to as Peter's anomaly. But here's the real thing. If I understand this correctly, and we're going to let Paloma tell you more about how this works. The costs involved with providing assistance in those situations with those children, with those families, can be enormous. And so what Paloma said was, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe if I were to reach out to the Florida legislature, if I were to reach out to the governor, they might see their way clear to help us, all of us who are challenged in this way. Well, she called it Paloma's Dream, and she used a particular website to communicate to these people, the legislatures, and to us, the general public, her dream. For what? For making it possible for people like Paloma to get the kind of assistance they really need. Many of whom would not have any opportunity for assistance were it not for this funding. So having said that, Paloma, I want to make sure I've been accurate. So far, everything I've said is pretty right, pretty clear?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I feel much better because this is not easy for me. I'm trying to get a handle on how this has all come together because it's really remarkable how many people can walk into the state legislature and say, hey, I need $1 million. Well, Paloma did that, but you didn't just do it that way. Tell us how it all got started for you. What was kind of the first step, do you think?
Well, FOSBI, Florida Association Agencies Serving the Blind, asked me if I would go and lobby to the legislators.
Ah.
And I said yes.
How did that happen? Did your mom help?
Yes, my mom helped me.
She did. Good. Moms are good for stuff like that. They make phone calls. But then you really had to do the work, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So here's my understanding. So you met with groups of legislators, right?
Correct.
And then how did it go forward? Did you have something in your hand, a document or a piece of paper that said, here's what I'm trying to do?
I had made a presentation on my iPad, which was a speech, and I had brought one of my handheld devices, which I named Lucille. And what that is one of the magnifiers that I have. And I taught them how that worked, and I told them a little bit about myself. And I discussed what I wanted to do.
That is very cool. You named the device Lucille, and that's a magnifier that you use?
It's an electronic magnifier. I named it Lucille because I had a CCTV from the lighthouse that I named Cecile. And then there's Cecile and Lucille.
Kind of like B.B. King. B.B. King had a guitar named Lucille. I thought that was coincidental there. But so if you then, you made this presentation, what happened next?
Well, we arranged a march.
A public demonstration.
Yes.
Yes. How did that go?
Well, we marched on April 16th from the Department of Education to the old Capitol, and that's where we presented our speeches and talked about what the cause was.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool. And then let me do this too for you, because I'm looking at your website here, okay? And a lot of people don't understand the necessity for this funding and how it is that someone like you is challenged. We've heard this idea about 2020 vision. Everybody hears that and then, oh yeah, 2020 vision. And we understand that that's normal, right? What I'm learning here is that the 2020 really has to do with a kind of average. So the idea is from 200 feet, right? You have 2200 vision. So from 200 feet, I might be able to see that if I have normal vision. You would have to be within 20 feet to see the same object. Is that how that, have I got that right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by all that at the moment. But for those of you who are struggling, as I am, to get your head around this, this Peter's anomaly, as it's referred to, means that Paloma had to have pupils surgically made for both of her eyes. So with that, by the way, how old were you when they had to do that for you?
I was zero.
You were like just newborn. Oh, so they knew this right away. Very cool. So that means then you've grown up with knowing that this was a challenge for you. What gave you the thought that maybe you'd have a chance of getting the funding, the kinds of things you have to deal with, and those costs related to all of the challenges can be pretty big, right? So that was the whole point of getting the funding.
The issue here is that the Florida Department of Education Division of Blind Services funds 0 to 5 and 14 and up, but not Paloma's age group. Her age group is the gap, 6 to 13.
Yes.
And that's the age group of children who are learning critical life skills, orientation and mobility, and they're the ones who need particular help and weren't getting it. So, for example, Paloma mentioned her Cecile and her Lucille, her electric magnifiers.
Right.
One of those is $3,000, and the state would pay for it if she were 5, but not when she turned 6.
Wow.
So my husband and I pay for those things out of pocket, and we're happy to do it. We're able to do it. But for the over 900 kids in Florida who need this stuff in that age group,
they're just stuck.
They may not be able to pay for it. And if the state can pay for the other age groups, it was our request and Paloma's dream that the state pay for the kids in the middle.
Was it fun for you to get to see how the legislature and legislators work? Did you get to meet any of those people?
It was awesome and exciting. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. It's a big place, too, isn't it?
Yes.
The big room that they meet in? I mean, that's a pretty cool place. Do you remember any one of those folks that you got to know better than others? Some of the legislators that you met, did you get to spend time with any one more so than the others?
Probably Baxley at the end. He has a son who's blind, and you remember sitting on his lap?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was very helpful.
Yes.
We're going to continue with more of this lively conversation as we take this quick break. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson and Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson and Lawson giving business owners and homeowners better solutions too. with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Paloma Rambana and her mom, Elizabeth Ricci, who many of you know. Elizabeth has been a guest on the show many times in helping us better understand the intricacies and complexities of immigration law. She and her husband, Neil Rambana, are prominent immigration attorneys here in the Tallahassee area and have served across the country and really across the globe in all of their efforts. Good to have you with us, too, by the way,
Thank
Elizabeth.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for tagging along on this occasion, because we're really here to talk with Paloma and talk about this wonderful dream she had for funding the gap. And the realization is that there was this sort of quirky sort of disparity, this gap between those who were infants and older, up to the age of five, and then those who were, what would you say, 12 or 14?
14
and yeah. older. But in between, if you were 6 or if you were 13 or anything in between, there were no funding sources available to you. Now there will be because of Paloma. Way to go, Paloma. Okay. Well, so in fact, you got to meet the governor, Governor Rick Scott, didn't you?
Yes.
What's he like?
Well, when I met the governor, he told us a little bit about his office, and he gave everyone a swap coin, which is like a coin that we would switch with places like countries and
different people that he meets.
Ah, so a swap coin is something that the governor would give someone in another country, for example.
Yeah.
Maybe like the president of Brazil or somebody, one of his pals that he hangs mm-hmm. with, and they swap coins.
Yes.
I like that. That's a very cool idea. I had to start doing that. I could like swap coins with other radio hosts. What do you think?
I'll give you a quarter, and you know, we can trade coins. That's
about all I get here anyway. So you met the governor. What did you guys like? Did you like hang? Did you chat? I mean, were you going to lunch and stuff, or what did you do with the governor?
Well, we talked and took photos.
What did you talk about?
We talked about the gap.
The gap. Okay. So he didn't tell you, like, his favorite tunes and stuff like that?
No.
Okay. You not only got to meet the governor, he signed into law then this legislation that you inspired.
Yes.
How does that feel for you?
It feels great. That feeling feels amazing.
Yeah. Is this, like, the biggest, coolest thing you've ever done?
Yes. 1,000%.
And you're only 9 years old.
Yeah.
Where do you go from here? Okay, so like maybe America's Got Talent or something, or The Voice. You got to like win some national.
We're thinking White House.
Yeah.
The presidency. Well, everyone else is running. Why not? Let's do that. Well, it's kind of time consuming and it can get expensive. So maybe next year. We'll wait on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I think constitutionally you have to be of a certain age, so you probably have a ways to get ready for that. But meanwhile, what do you like doing in school the most? What's your thing?
I like to do music and mm-hmm. art and drama.
Ah, well, you'd fit right in over here, because that's kind of all we do here is music, art, and drama. Yeah, that's our thing. Okay, if you were talking to all of the kids like you right now, and they are as well challenged with the costs of just dealing with any kind of visual impairment, what would you say to them? You've got about 3 seconds. No, take as much time as you want. What would you say to those families and those kids? And they're struggling just like you struggled in trying to deal with this challenge. What would you say to them?
Would you say when there's
more work to do and we are making our way to something amazing?
Hmm. Do you think kids like you ever get discouraged because of their physical limitation?
Yes.
What does that feel like?
It feels sad thinking that...
You feel happy that you're able to help some yes. people who need stuff that they might not be able to afford?
Mm-hmm. I feel happy a lot.
What would you say to them to encourage them so they wouldn't feel sad?
There's a lot of people like us everywhere, and we're not alone. We can do it.
Yeah, I think you've made that clear. When a person who himself or herself is challenged, and here you had this dream to help fund the gap, right? Is the $1 million enough? Is there a need for more?
We're going to keep going. It's not done.
It's not done. Okay. Yeah, because I noticed on your website, your dream was to raise $3 million. So that tells me there's like another $2 million to go. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For the $3 million, that would have been to 300 kids since we only got $1 million, which I'm very grateful for. It's helping 100 children.
Ah.
So...
Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's simple math, too, isn't it?
Yes.
There's about over 900 kids in the state in this age bracket, so the requests will keep going. But the good thing about this money is half of it is recurring.
Yes.
Look at that. So every year there will be an additional allotment. So this first year there's $1 million. Then will you have to come back next year and appeal for mm-hmm. further funding? Is that the idea?
Yes.
Aha. Okay. Well, there you go, folks. Now, if you want to check this out directly, it's very simple. You can go to the website, palomasdream.com, and there you're going to find out not only about this particular anomaly, Peter's anomaly, as it's referred to, but this unusual sort of gap in funding and how Paloma went about making all this come together, she and her mom. And you're going to also find out there's a place there on the site where you can make a personal donation, which I think is very cool. Because you know what? Let's see. If $1 million will take care of 100 kids, right? So like if I gave another million, I'd be taking care of 100. Or if I gave 100, that'd be like 1/10 of a kid. So I'd have to get a bunch of my friends together so we could at least take care of one whole person, right?
And those donations are for the Lighthouse of the Big Bend, which is the agency that we belong to that's part of the Florida Association of Agencies Serving the Blind that this money would trickle to. And it looks like the $1 million is actually going to go to the lighthouses in the bigger cities, so our lighthouse probably won't see any of the million.
Well, we need to keep working, clearly.
Yes.
And so again, the website, simply enough, palomasdream.com. We have had the pleasure of having Paloma Rambana here with us this morning. Thank you, my dear friend. Thank you for sharing your heart with us.
Thank you for letting me come.
Yes, and all the hard work you've done, and for letting your mom be a part of it. I thought that was very cool that you got to include her along your journey. Much success for you and for all of those you represent in the future.
Thank you.
Folks, stay with me. We've got more coming up right after ABC News here at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for joining me in this never-ending. That's what it was. I was going for the never-ending, maybe it's ever-infuriating quest to try to bring to you the very best that Tallahassee is. Can be, is offering all of the celebratory kinds of things that we talk about, along with some of the challenges and harder, I guess you'd say, more difficult conversations that we have about some of the things that we need to get better at doing. Better in from what framework, that is to say, from what point of view? What is it that one might consider an improvement to what we are as a community? It seems that community leadership, such as it is, has traveled about the countryside looking at other communities, whether it's Austin or Madison, Boulder of late, trying to answer that question. What is it that they consider better? You know, my caution is that sometimes what I think is better for me isn't necessarily better for you. What can happen very quickly is that those in a more dominant position, perhaps a group of people who by either rank or privilege or income, opportunity, whatever, affords them their degree of influence, they're the ones calling the shots. So, you know, what happens when you have a population of people that are disenfranchised or underrepresented and we begin to impose upon them what we consider as a better way, a better solution? Well, golly sakes, folks, you don't have to be a scholar of American history or even world history to discover that such mentality has been applied rather strategically in many cases. Let's talk about the fact that during the 1800s, thousands and thousands of Native Americans were subject to the influences of those who thought that they deserved a better way of living, a better life. Wow. Well, be careful now, because, you know, you got to stop and think about how people in places like Baltimore found themselves absolutely stunned to realize there was so much divisiveness, divide, disconnectedness, right? And so my question has been, are we, let's talk about Tallahassee, Leon County, North Florida, as vulnerable? Are we? Is it thinkable that we could find ourselves in a kind of falling out with one another? Well, you know, as far as I know, the human race lives and breathes here just as it does there. Now, that isn't to equate one community with the other, and distinctly we have some differences. That's one of the reasons why I wanted Commissioner DeLoge to join us, to help me, help you and I think through some of this questioning. And there you go. The questioning itself, to me, is a healthy exercise. You know, goodness, I mean, we don't have all the answers, no, but are we asking the right questions? So if we find that you have a population in your community that doesn't connect to the other part of that community, well, isn't it reasonable to ask why? And should we also ask, is that a bad thing? Is that an unworkable situation? I mean, you know, there are a lot of people in my family, personally speaking, that certainly don't want me around. And, you know, it's mutual. There's kind of a healthy respect for our distance between one another. And I'm okay with that. Turns out so are they. You know, we see each other once a year and it's okay. You know, maybe we exchange gifts. Maybe we don't. Maybe we write. Maybe we don't. But we certainly don't go about the business of trying to get the other group to be like us or trying to get them to be like me or vice versa. Anyway, you hear where I'm coming from here? That we've got to find within our ranks an appreciation for the differences. And those differences didn't emerge simply as a matter of the lack of opportunity. You know, if somebody aspires to achieve more, well, yes, granted, people need to make way for that kind of advancement, certainly. And any kind of institutional discouragement needs to be adjusted, needs to be removed. You know, if you're being pushed away from the table, that's one thing. But if that's not the table that you want to be a part of, there's nothing wrong with that either. Maybe there's another way that you want to engage your family, your community. There's another way you want to celebrate life. There's another way that you want to invest in the schools and the businesses and the neighborhoods that make up the life that you're living. Is that okay? Does everything have to look like Killarn? Does everything have to look like Disney World? Does everything have to be so manicured and groomed so as to fit into a very restricted, I would say, even narrow definition of what is good, what is art, what is culture? How are we then defined? By this sort of unified code or by the freedom of expression and the celebration of that diversity? Notice how I cleverly segue into this. You can go over to the 621 Gallery and see Majesties of Realms Beyond. John Little Wilson is an art show going on. That happens tomorrow. And our very own Miriam Dades doing a beautiful job with this presentation of The Cripple of Inishmahan, being presented by the Tallahassee Irish Repertory Theater at Theater Tallahassee, their coffee house edition. Great little play, and that's happening. You can go over there. I think their last show is actually tomorrow. There's a showing tonight and then a matinee tomorrow. Check that out. Always good to keep your co-host happy. That's a cardinal rule around here. Here's another neat thing you can do. There is a Sunday brunch music series going on downtown. Now, this happens on Sunday. This is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the Sunday brunch music series at 101 Restaurant. That's downtown there in the Clayman Plaza area. So you want to pick up on that. Some of the stuff happening along with some of the other news of the day, particularly in relation to Leon County, and since we have the commissioner here, one of the efforts they made in voting to endorse the governor's decision there in South Carolina to remove the Confederate flag from the state's capital. See, the question remains, well, then why wasn't this letter written from the county, you know, even 6 months ago, or how about a year ago? How long has the flag been up there? But now, because of this event, tragic and horrifying as it is, now it becomes expedient, right? So we got to be careful. We got to kind of check our own sincerity levels here. That doesn't happen a whole lot when it comes to very large organizations, businesses that want to now disassociate themselves, because it's a popular thing to do and, you know, helps them feel good, maybe make a little bit more money along the way. Well, that's how we do things around here. We just kind of call it as we see it, and we're going to do that here in a short order after this short commercial break. Stay with me, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on: experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Merry Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have Commissioner Brian DeLoge with us in the remaining portion of this hour, and we are so delighted to have you here. How are you, sir?
Glad to be here.
You're looking great. You're looking good for a sweltering summer day, and you're trying to stay in there with the rest of us.
Huh? It's as hot as it gets down here in Florida, isn't it? Yeah.
Stay upright and take advantage of the lovely world-class rivers and beaches that we have. That's a good thing.
I was in the Wasissa River last week, actually.
Yes.
We ran the Melon Run in downtown Monticello, and then a group of us biked down to the Wasissa and jumped in, spent 10, 15 minutes, you know, chest deep in 72-degree water.
It will get a lot of things right.
Yeah, and then biked back, and it was beautiful. A little hot on the return, but
no doubt.
You know, you're right. I mean, we've got hundreds of miles. Wasissa, Osceola, Wakulla, Ekenfina, Suwannee, Occlocknee. I mean, you got all these rivers and then the coastal area. I mean, we're a kayaking, small boat paradise.
Yeah, and in that regard, folks, you know that I am quick to celebrate those things that this community and our region offer, and that's right up there along the top of the list. When you think of the natural resources of any given region, man, our abilities and our opportunities to enjoy those natural resources in the form of rivers and,
you know, we've got
parks and
world-class trail system too, which we're slowly bringing together so that everybody, you know, so you've got the city trails, the county trails, the state trails, the federal trails, or the patchwork quilt that it is today. So we branded Trailahassee. That started out there. And then we've got in this next round of blueprint funding a lot of trails. We're working on a 122-mile city-to-sea bike trail.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Probably the next piece, though, we're going to add 20 miles to the St. Mark's Trail running along Highway 98 east and west in the next couple of years.
And, you know, folks, even if you're not a biker or a hiker or a walker, there's no reason in the world why you can't take a smaller portion of some of these trails and some of the waterways. I mean, you don't have to, you know, do like this weirdo deluge over here, 20 miles.
Well, you know, here's an example. So Miccosukee Greenway is a 7-mile linear park in the middle of town.
Right.
I talked to a friend of mine a month or two ago. He said, I'm third generation Tallahassee. And he said, never knew it existed until I was training for a marathon, somebody mentioned. Yeah. And it's a nice shaded area that's got some huge park-like settings. The middle section where, I guess, Dempsey Mayo hits Miccosukee. Yeah, there's probably a 100-acre field there that you can just sit out there and throw the frisbee and hang out. We've got that right in the middle of town.
It's remarkable, too, how certain folks in this town have worked hard, certainly among county officials and some of the private citizens that I think of, Chuck Mitchell particularly, mm-hmm. when he really got behind, and several others, this Miccosukee Greenway.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we had Jim Van Riper with the city of Tallahassee talking about Tally Parks.
Yep.
Or is it Park Tally? Tally Parks, and that's the little app now. you can download to your phone.
Yeah.
And he talked about the county working. I think that's what you were alluding to. There's that same effort going on.
Well,
in the county.
The mountain biking community, they know where all the trails are. And some of them are really kind of bootleg. They use power. Yeah. In fact, we're working now with City of Tallahassee Electric and Talquin to try and memorialize the idea that how about we access some of the power line areas that are currently being used by a lot of the walkers and bikers anyway.
Yeah.
How about if we make them formally a trail that's a pedestrian trail?
Right.
So there's some issues we got to deal with as far as liability and access and stuff. And not everyone will be, but for instance, on the canopy roads, there's no way you're going to pierce the canopy and ever put a sidewalk or widen those roads.
Right.
But, you know, the bikers love them. And the runners can't run on them. But if you took the power line easement, which is just off outside the canopy, and allowed us to put a bike trail or a running trail underneath there, not paved, I think, you know, you've got some real potential there.
Now, you might ask yourself, too, when you're hearing our dear friend Brian Deloge talk about such things, what in the world does this have to do with running Leon County and, and spending our hard-earned tax dollars? I want to ask you a question. What are you working so hard for?
Well, I want Tallahassee to be a destination.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, Tallahassee is a great place to come home to. It's my I was born here, raised here, left for a few years, couldn't wait to come back. And, you know, what you find is we went to Boulder a couple of months ago, a number of us, and what we found was people want to go there and live. And if the Richard Florida books of the world that talk about flight of the creative class, the current generation, they find a town that they like, that has the kinds of things that they like, trails, a little bit of nightlife, a lot of the outdoor activities we talked about, and then they figure out how to make a living there.
Yeah,
they don't follow a job to a community. So it's a little different in the upcoming generation. Yeah, so if you can build a community that's welcoming, and we got 65,000 college students here, and unfortunately the majority of them leave. And at a minimum, we ought to leave them with a better memory of Tallahassee beyond Doak Campbell, Tennessee Street, and Monroe Street.
Yeah.
Get them out a little bit. And these stories I hear all the time of people that say, you know what, I got out and I hunted. I went to the coast. I was riding on a canopy road at sunrise with a group of bikers, and I've never left.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that, you know, came here from all over the Southeast.
Indeed.
And ended up staying.
It's remarkable, too. We have listeners who will listen to this show from other parts of the world who were students here or who worked here, or perhaps that they're a parent of a student at Florida State or FAMU or TCC.
Yeah, and we would love to make sure those 65,000 college kids here get a chance to see a little bit of the area outside of what we talked about, so that they either stay, which would be great, or they leave with fond memories and consider coming back.
Right.
And then correspondingly, when people around the country start thinking about the whole Choose Tallahassee, you know, where I'm getting to the point where I can make a decision. My kids are out the door. My professional life's winding down. Where am I going to go? I want to, you know.
Well, that for us is the connection because, in fact, with these folks listening from outside the area, and that's one of the things I think people are starting to get here is that the world is listening. The world is watching.
Yeah.
We're certainly not the only channel by which they can do so, but that's why we care so much about telling the real story about what Tallahassee is doing. And we have Dr. Atira Charles, who will be on here in a couple of weeks, helping us do that, and our very good friend, Commissioner Brian Deloge, who has graciously agreed to share a bit of his time with us on this beautiful Saturday in Tallahassee. We are grateful for those who make this possible. One of our sponsors, a Country Rose Florist, is someone that you can trust for the best in floral design, fresh cut flowers, catering, all kinds of great stuff, gift items. It's all done under the auspices of a Country Rose Florist. You'll find them online, acountryroseflorist.com. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with Commissioner DeLoge. Hope you are having a great morning here. We certainly are. In fact, we've talked a little bit about some of the natural wonders of this community and of this region. The benefits are spinning forward in attracting and retaining this creative class, and even those who are not necessarily creative but are looking for a great place to live. Maybe they're looking to retire, or maybe they're midstream. They've got kids and they're wanting to raise kids in what is now, I guess, our second or third designation as an All-American City. Mm-hmm. That was recently mm-hmm. awarded yep. to us.
Congratulations to the city. Absolutely.
I mean, and in fact, when you look at what is Tallahassee, well, that's been an interesting sort of debate of recent history, because, you know, when you talk to people about Richard Florida's work, the segregated city that came out a few months back, some people saying, well, no, wait, that's not the real Tallahassee. Tallahassee is really, you know, a much more narrowly defined population of people. What do you think?
Well, I think you got to be careful when people come out, the segregation piece that came out, everybody got excited and said, you know, we're the most economically segregated city in the country. And every student-based town across the country fared pretty poorly in those same mm-hmm. tests, because mm-hmm. you've got basically a large contingent of college students who, at most cases, living at the poverty level. It's just what you do when you're a college student. And that does not jibe real well with, you know, the neighborhoods and mm-hmm. the net, because you've got this group of people that are living kind of at just getting by level. Mm-hmm. And so we just happen to be, as a city, of a county of 270,000 people, when we've got 65,000 college kids, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. impacts. That 65,000 kids are going to have little or no income, and that's reflected in the economic segregation. So you have to be careful about how you extrapolate the information and what you do with it and what it says. And I think certainly there are things we could do better. And I know, for instance, South City, everybody's agreed there's a problem there.
What is the problem?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, that you could talk cultural issues, you could talk societal issues. I'll tell you a very sad story. One of the other commissioners mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, one of the Southside schools had their open house for kindergarten, and one parent showed up. And I don't know, most of the schools I grew up with my children going to, it was standing room only. It was parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, the whole nine yards. The first night that the PTA had an organizational meeting at the same school, three parents showed up. So, and you can't fix that overnight. And I don't want to make any kind of social statements, but you have to, you know, these are the schools are physically the same exact schools everywhere else in town. Mm-hmm. The children are the exact same children in every other school in town. The difference is they have a family structure in many cases that doesn't match, and an economic structure, unfortunately. It's interesting, you know, the book Freakonomics talks about there's a feeling that single parents have a negative impact on a child's growth potential and their learning capacity. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what they've shown, if I remember correctly, is the single parent designation has little or no. It's an economic issue. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is the majority of single parents, unfortunately, single mothers, don't have the earning capacity to really get that child up and out and give them the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a combination of a couple of different things, but just throwing money at it is, frankly, a little short-sighted.
Would it be reasonable to think that those parents did not show up for that PTA meeting because they were working?
Or there were no parents in yeah. many cases.
Or they didn't have the gas to get in the car and go and attend the meeting.
One of the above, yeah. And your child's education is behind putting food on the table mm-hmm. and making sure the light bill gets paid and things
like
that.
See, this is the discussion that Tim Sender and I have had, where you can bring somebody to the table who comes from a different orientation, we'll say, in terms of work ethic, right? So we've asked that person to dig this ditch, and they do so with proficiency, and the ditch is dug. That's the mindset that they work from. Bring them into a working situation in which they're expected to create a document that is subject to review and has to be edited. He says, that doesn't make sense to them. I wrote this the way you asked me to do it.
Right.
Why are you correcting me? And so there's this sort of disparity then between, if you want to call that cultural, but it's certainly a kind of mismatching of expectation and performance. So when those kinds of issues show up, it makes me wonder whether the kindergarten teacher needs to rethink the model. Maybe we've taken what works for this other classification, this other grouping over here, and imposed that.
But and you could argue that the educational model is the same one we've had for 100 years.
Yeah,
one teacher, 25, 30 kids. And frankly, the technology has blown by us.
You've got Vincent Hunt, who the last 2 weeks has been running this Creators Camp. Creators Camp, you know about this, right?
Mm-hmm. I've heard about it. Yeah.
Creators Camp is taking little kids, we'll say, and putting them to work building their own computers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, the foundation of that happens because we expect them to be able to do this. And lo and behold, they're doing it in spades. And, you know, the rest of us are still trying to program our smartphone. These kids are building computers. And they're like 9 and 10 years old, right?
And that's the next generation we got to deal with.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And so if you want to look at how we break through some of these segregated aspects of our community, maybe we get involved at a level that says, okay, the PTA meeting model just doesn't work for you. Well, what does work for
you?
Maybe we build the model around your lifestyle. It just reminds me, too, of how, in fact, so much of what we do in this town is, and you said 150 years, it is an importation of the way we've always done things.
Right.
We're just not that town anymore, are we?
Yeah, I mean, we're making – a lot of things are changing. I mean, if you look at what's happened to the South Side in the last decade, I mean, we Cascades Park's come online. Gaines Street's come online. We did the groundbreaking here for the crossing the pedestrian bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what you're going to find is we've got a huge sidewalk trail project that's going to run down Magnolia all the way to Monroe Street.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of infrastructure related things that help out and generate and are the catalyst for a lot of other things. I mean, look at up and down the Madison Mile, which is between the Civic Center and the intramural fields, is a huge economic driver.
The question I keep asking, and it's like the field of dreams, are we telling ourselves, if we build it, they will come? You know, I remind you of the woman who said, I don't even know what Cascades Park is, and honestly, I don't care. She lives in the northwest side of town. She's a branch manager for a credit union. She has three kids. And by the way, that branch managership, it's matched with a second job. And her husband works full-time and then mows lawns on the weekend.
Yeah, and I think the
that's the typical Tallahassee family.
We need to do a better job. There are things in our community that the local community doesn't know that we have. And I promise you there are probably parks within striking distance of where she lives in the northwest side of town. There's a new one we're putting up.
And she spoke of those.
And we need to make sure that not only are the students that come here exposed to this, but the people who live in our community are have a better understanding of what's out there.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing for me when I talk to people about the St. Mark's Wildlife Refuge. It's 70,000 acres down towards the coast. It is spectacular. 9 months out of the year, it is world class. And yet people say, oh, is that the St. Mark's Trail? I've driven by that.
The trail.
And so,
the river.
You know,
who was St. Mark anyway?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's things in our community, and I get that, you know, Cascades Park and those things are not for everybody, but it's a community asset that'll bring in, we'll have world-class entertainment coming through here. It's a world-class park, and really, in fairness, it's a stormwater facility that we dressed up.
There's lots of good things to be said about those kinds of projects, and we have an able, an analyst, representative, spokesperson, Brian DeLoge, Commissioner Leon County District 4, helping us wade through this murky water, not at all like the very crystal clear waters of the Wasissa, but he is doing his very best to try help this poor soul figure it out. Folks, I'm glad you're with me because, man, this just wouldn't be as fun if you weren't listening, I have to say. Stay with me. We got more coming up with Commissioner DeLoge. And I want to remind you, too, that we are in process with Tallahassee Food Challenge. You know about this, right? The Tallahassee Food Challenge is our ongoing, year-round effort to say hunger doesn't stop at the end of June. It goes on and on. You can make a difference. Help me feed hungry kids in this town. We can do it. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
If you've just joined us, don't worry. We're going to try to summarize everything we've said in the last half hour here in the next few minutes. We'll just start over because you're late. But that's okay. We love you anyway. Brian DeLoge is with us, Commissioner Leon County, District 4, who tirelessly continues to try to make his way through the murky waters of social service and community leadership and appealing to one constituency over another and one segment of the community along with every other segment of the community. And what did you say earlier? You wasn't pick your battles. You have to decide what you're willing to die for.
Yeah, huh? I'm not dying for everything. You know, the reality is,
because once you're dead, it's pretty much over.
Yeah, I want to win the war, not the every little skirmish is not as important.
What are the hot battles? What are the things that people really come at you about most often, let's say?
Well, I mean,
where do we not agree most often, I suppose?
Money is what hits everybody, and sure. You know, yeah. So nobody likes paying taxes, let's face it. Yeah. And if we left it up to the citizens and we had a referendum, do you want to pay taxes? No. Yeah. But on the other hand, most people
understand.
Do you
want fire protection? Do you want roads? Do you want sewers? Do you want garbage pickup?
So we've got an interesting job in that there's a limited amount of resources, meaning income to spend, and an unlimited amount of need.
And now the decision was made to not raise the millage rate.
Right.
Yeah. So how does that impact the party?
Well, it's been interesting. So we rode our budget down from almost $300 million down to about $220 million. Hmm. And we did not eliminate any service. Hmm. We did not eliminate. We have about almost 100 less positions within the county through a voluntary separation program. So nobody was fired. Okay. And what we found is we're running a pretty lean operation. And compared to other counties around the state, which we use as a benchmark, we have one of the lowest per capita, meaning budget dollar per constituent, meaning the number of people in the county, as well as the number of employees versus the number of people we service. Wow. So Leon County runs one of the most lean and efficient counties in the state. Now, and I can tell you from having traveled around our state and traveled around the country, it's we have a good county. Not perfect, but frankly, we're hitting on most cylinders.
And my understanding is that you do have that vantage point in relation to this larger organization.
Yeah, I spent a couple of years, National Association of Counties. I spent a couple of years in leadership in the Florida Association of Counties, got to visit most of the counties, 67 counties in the state. Now I'm incoming president of the National Association of Counties.
You got yourself elected.
I did, and it was a real election.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I'm a glutton for punishment.
You realize this is going to cut into your kayaking time. Man, you're an idiot.
See the world. Conference rooms all across the country. You know?
I see. So you're charting now all the rivers in all of these different communities.
If you're in a different town, you might as well take advantage of it.
I see. Okay. So you're just going to, like, hoist your bike and your kayak through the airport.
It's a great opportunity to see parts of the country I might not otherwise. So by the end of this spin, I expect to have been in every 50 states.
Well, congratulations, Mr. President.
Thank you.
And I trust that from these experiences, you'll be able to bring back to us even greater insight.
Yeah, the best practices we're seeing across the country. I mean, all the counties struggle with the same things. I tell you, a big issue right now we can talk about another day is mental health in the jails. Yeah. People don't realize that when you get arrested today and you go to jail before you're adjudicated, the minute you get into the jail, you lose all of your health care. Okay, so we have a lot of Medicaid recipients that get to the jail door, and they become the ward of the county until this is before they're actually prosecuted and deemed guilty. And so, you know, we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty, yet you lose and the federal government, and it's a glitch in the system that's costing counties across the country hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in uncompensated care. We've got to manage
the healthcare. There's a gap there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get Paloma Rambana to work on that.
We need all the help we can get. It's all hands on deck.
You know about this little 9-year-old, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard.
That, had Rick Scott eating out of the palm of her hand, dear governor that he is. By the way, am I mistaken here? You've just talked about the county being this model of efficiency. Can we import that or export that somehow to the state level where maybe the governor can occupy that same sort of strategy? Yeah. He's cut a lot of positions lately, and he's under fire for that, right?
Well,
how come you guys got away with
it? I think some of it starts with, we've got Village Square we put together here. Some of it starts with having a civil conversation about the facts.
A lot of discourse.
When the House walked out with 3 days left, at least from the optics, from the uninformed kind of person on the sidelines, it looked a little childish. Yeah. I mean, the reality was they were
close your parks.
Yeah. Those
going
are
going home.
Yeah, those were kind of the knee-jerk. You can't negotiate from a my way or the highway kind of thing. Now, in the governor's behalf, I will tell you that our state, from a fiscal standpoint, is in better shape than the majority of our peers across the country. And it's due in no small part to a lot of the work the governor's done you make hard decisions, and they're long-term decisions that aren't real comfortable to make on the short term.
Don't have to be popular, but they have to work.
And unfortunately today, I think, in my opinion, the majority of the elected officials are incented to make what would be considered short-term popular decisions to keep people happy. And that's like saying to your children, I'll let you get away with having ice cream at every meal. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and you're a businessman, a business owner. I certainly find myself saying the same sorts of things to our company. When you have a lot of money, money covers a lot of sins, right? So you can get away with a lot of inefficiencies.
And it's interesting. We had a 6-hour budget workshop this week, and so we're slowly coming out. The property values raised about 4% this last go around. And so I said, listen, we're gonna tap the brakes here a little bit. We've gotten ourselves in a position where we are lean, we are efficient. We are not going to come roaring out of this and raise our taxes and suddenly start trying to make up for lost ground overnight. Let's take advantage of the fact that we made some decisions that have put us in a very enviable spot financially so that we can operate and continue. Doesn't mean we're going to not provide the services, but we just need to be careful.
And see, to me, that's the more realistic debate. It's not a matter of private or public. It's a matter of efficient or excessive
government cannot be everything to everybody. And unfortunately, what's happened is there's been a lot of creep over the last 40 years where government has slowly become the funder of, there are a lot of social needs out there. And unfortunately, it's hard to turn people down when they show up and say, what about this? What about this? What about this? 70% of my budget in the county is roughly is state mandated. Mm. Run the jails, run the courts, run the roads. Here are all the things you have to do. So the things that I would do that would be considered peripheral, that other 30%, those are parks and libraries and health care and safety net type social activities. Very cool. So social service issues.
Yeah, right. And so, hooray for that, because now we're not just building a park and saying, well, we sure hope that everybody can participate in this. We're taking and building the park around or bringing
going out into the community
to the way in which they want to do things. And I think that that is really the keynote for.
And we've struck a chord with Village Square. I mean, I'll tell you, we have we're in Pinellas, we're in Broward, we're in Kansas, we're in Pennsylvania, we're in Salt Lake, we're in California. We're talking to half a dozen other states and cities around the country. It's we've cracked the code there a little bit.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to participating even more substantially in that effort. Folks, we're just slap out of time, and we've certainly been fortunate to have as much time as we have with our dear friend, Brian DeLoge, County Commissioner, District 4. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Always
I think
a pleasure.
We get a bright future here.
I look forward
to working with everybody.
I do, too. Thank you so much. Folks, that's what we have for you today. Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. You join me again next Saturday morning because I'll be here looking for you at 9 o'clock. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Hey, we're checking in with Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, how you guys doing today? It's an awesome setup here at Truck and Car Concepts. You come in here, it's your one-stop shop. You can get it all taken care of. Window tinting, pinstriping, graphics, you name it, Truck and Car Concepts does it. And we've also got those bolt-on accessories that make the truck look nice. We've got grill guards, we've got brush guards, stainless steel Nerf bars, lifetime warranty on those. And again, the spray-in bed liner is going to make it worth your while.
Talking about putting a few of these things on there, and you're going to increase the value of that vehicle.
Well, you will, and not only are you going to do that, but you're going to make it look nice. It's going to customize it for your own personality and your own wants and needs. Some guys like it jacked up. We also do lowering kits.
There's only one place in town that's going to be able to truck it up then.
That's right. That's Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800. Come on, say it with me. 656-8800.